Chapter 15. Millie and her friends stood at the lip of Audun's ledge, looking down. A small cloud floated past beneath them, and when it was gone, there was nothing to see for a very long way. The ground was so far below that only a dragon could have seen a human on its surface.
"How are we supposed to get down there?" Francis asked. "I don't think even Simon Leo could jump from here and live."
"You don't have to jump," said Audun. "I'll carry you to the castle. Millie, would you like to ride on my back?"
Francis glanced at the dragon's back and shrugged. "I suppose, if it's the only way. I'll go first and give you a hand up, Millie." Audun snarled and lowered his massive head so he was face to face with Francis.
"I offered Millie a ride, not you. I'll carry you the same way you came here, in dragon claws."
"I don't think that's fair," said Francis, turning a little pale.
"Dragons don't have to be fair. It's the only way I'll carry you. But if you don't like it, you can stay up here forever."
"My lady,"
Audun said, lowering his neck so that Millie might climb onto it.
"Isn't there any way?"
Millie began.
"No," said Audun. "I will not have that boy on my back."
"I'm sorry, Francis," Millie said as she took hold of one of Audun's ridges.
"There isn't room for all of us up here anyway, and you'll be perfectly safe in Audun's claws. I carried you that way myself."
"Where should I go?"
Zoe asked in a small voice. Millie glanced back and saw real fear on her friend's face.
"Audun, do you think perhaps..."
The white dragon sighed.
"I suppose I can carry her, but I'm not letting that troll climb up, so don't ask."
"I wouldn't want to sit up there anyway," grumbled Leo. "I'd probably get blown off."
"The wind," said Zoe.
"You'll be safe," Audun replied. "Just hold on to my ridges and I'll fly slowly."
The dragon held still while Zoe climbed up behind Millie. When he reached for the troll, Simon closed his eyes while Leo watched everything with great interest.
"Uh-uh," said Francis.
"You're not picking me up like that. Hold your foot still and I'll climb on."
"I'll have to tighten my grip so you don't fall," warned Audun.
"I know," Francis said, positioning himself so he could reach his scabbard. He tensed up, waiting for the pressure, and relaxed when the dragon didn't squeeze him.
"Hold tight," said Audun.
As the dragon's muscles bunched under her, Millie felt Zoe lean against her back. The great wings began a slow and steady beat, and suddenly they were in the air, soaring out over the vast emptiness that had opened beneath them.
"Wow," Zoe breathed into Millie's ear. "I've never flown this high before. This is incredible."
"It is," Millie said, gazing around her in awe.
Although she had flown alongside this same mountain only hours before, she had been too worried about her friends to appreciate the scenery. She gasped as the sun caught the snow on the mountains in a sparkling sheen of purest white. The deeper snow showed hints of blue, the same shade as the streaks on the white dragon. Tightening her grip, Millie glanced down. They were up so high that the river that ran between the mountains was the slimmest of lines. Riding a dragon was almost as exhilarating as being a dragon, although she would never have dreamed of trading one for the other. They were approaching the next mountain in the range when Audun said,
"Watch out, we're going up."
And then they were climbing. Millie leaned forward so that she was hugging the dragon's neck with her body pressed against the side of his ridge. Zoe bent over as well, holding her face against Millie's back as they arrowed nearly straight up. Even after Audun leveled off, Millie stayed where she was and was glad she had when he began his descent and the wind whistled past them. She saw the ice castle right away. It would have been impossible to miss. The light reflecting off its surface would have been blinding if the sun hadn't been setting. The castle had been constructed in the cleft formed by three mountains. Like the surface of the mountains around them, the walls of the castle were white and blue, with tall, slender turrets and pinnacles and lace-like arches that reached to the mountains themselves. The castle could only have been built with magic. Millie's muscles were beginning to tremble from the effort it took to hold on when Audun finally set down Francis and Simon Leo before landing at the foot of the castle. Zoe groaned as she slid into Francis's arms. Millie soon followed, her fingers still bent and stiff.
"The door's inside that archway," said Audun. "It's the only door in the entire castle.
There are no windows or other openings. I know because I've spent weeks trying to find a way in.
How are we supposed to do this? Asked Francis. Do we bang on the door or sneak in? I think we should sneak in.
I say we barge in screaming and swinging axes, said Leo.
You would, said Simon. I think we should knock.
For once, I agree with Francis, Audun said. The only way you'll be able to enter that castle is to sneak in.
How will we get inside? Asked Zoe.
That's easy, said Francis. The door is made of ice. I could open that in my sleep.
Then I guess this is goodbye, Millie said, turning to Audun. Be careful, said the dragon. I know we've only just met, but I don't want to lose you, too. If you're not back in a few hours, I'm coming in after you. I can use that coal to melt the door. You won't need to do that, said Millie. We'll be back before you know it.
Standing on tiptoe, she kissed the dragon on the cheek and turned to join her friends. I can't believe you just kissed a dragon, Francis told her as they started toward the door.
My mother kissed a frog, said Millie, and look where they are now.
That's different, Francis grumbled.
Francis, half of the time I am a dragon. Do you really hate me so much?
No, of course not, said Francis, but that doesn't mean I have to like the dragon who has his eye on you.
Do you think he really likes me? Millie asked.
I don't get it, said Francis. You'd have to be deaf, blind, and stupid not to see it, and I know you're not any of those. He looked like you'd cracked a lance over his head when you kissed him, he was that stunned.
Millie stopped and looked for the dragon, but he had already moved out of sight.
When she turned back to Francis, he had reached the door, and she had to run to catch up. The door was only about 5 feet high, but from the depression around the frame, it was obvious that there had once been a much bigger opening that had been filled in with more ice. With his friends huddled around him, Francis placed his hands on the door and muttered,
"Door of ice, so white and clean, open up for me. Let us pass within your halls. Listen to my plea."
The door shivered and opened, letting a cool draft wash over them.
"That was it?" asked Simon. "That was the spell? I always thought spells were supposed to be long and complicated with all sorts of mumbo-jumbo tossed in to make them sound important."
"I could do that," Francis said, "but that kind of spell takes a whole lot longer to make up. It's easier to make a mistake when you say them, too. I've found that if I keep my spells short and to the point, I get better, faster results. Did you see how fast that door opened?"
"If you don't mind, could you talk about this later?" said Millie. "The door is open and we can go in. That's all we need to know."
"Some people can be so grumpy," Francis said as he waited for his friends to go past. When they were all inside, he pulled the door closed behind him.
"Don't lock it," Millie whispered. "We might have to leave in a hurry."
The walls of the corridor were blue, as were the ceiling and the floor. Candles burned in sconces with a flame as cold as the walls. The corridor was bright from the light reflecting off the ice, but the walls were oddly shaped, with bumps here, dips there, deeper patches of blue in some places, and fanciful swirls in others. At first, Simon Leo took the lead simply because he blocked the hallway with his broad shoulders and big stomach and wouldn't let anyone get past him. With his axe in his hand, he opened every door and peered inside, then shut it before anyone else could look. Francis was getting increasingly frustrated with this and kept trying to get past the troll, but he wasn't able to until they turned a corner and entered a wider corridor with even more misshapen walls. With so many bumps and bulges, it was nearly impossible to see more than a dozen feet in front of them. Millie was beginning to wonder if they'd ever see a living creature when something stepped out from behind a bulge in the wall and almost ran into Francis. Millie gasped, and Francis pulled his sword from its scabbard. It was one of the furry white monsters that had tried to kill them.
"Get back," Francis said, shoving Millie and Zoe behind him. "I'll take care of this."
"You and me both," said Leo, while Simon squeezed his eyes shut.
The beast opened its mouth as if to roar, then seemed to think better of it and closed its jaws with a snap. It watched warily as Francis and Leo approached it from opposite sides. After eyeing them both, it turned to Francis and knocked his sword away with one swift blow.
The creature looked like he was about to tackle Francis when a cheery voice said, "Why, hello there!"
Jerking its head as if it had been punched, the beast disappeared back around the bulge in the wall. While Francis made as if to follow the beast, Millie turned in the direction of the voice. A little old woman, dressed in a blue gown and a darker blue over-tunic, was framed in an open doorway. She was smaller than Zoe and could easily have been mistaken for someone much younger if it hadn't been for the wrinkles etching the skin around her eyes. Her white hair had been done up in bows and curls that wobbled and bounced against her cheeks every time she spoke. Her clothes were clean and looked new, her shoes old and battered. "I have guests," she said, clapping her hands. "I haven't had guests in, let me see now, 19? No, that wasn't it. I know." Her face lit up as she looked at each one in turn. "I've never had guests before. You four are the very first ones. Isn't this delightful?" "Delightful," Zoe echoed as the old woman took her hand and started pulling her into the room behind her. It was a great hall, far bigger and more elegant than the bright and open hall in Greater Greensward or the dark and dreary one in Upper Monte Vista. Zoe cast a pleading look at Millie and Simon Leo, who were already following her to the door. They were about to enter the room when Francis returned, looking cross. "What are you doing?" he asked from the doorway. "You don't know how nice it is to hear another voice. My invisible servants are wonderful, but they never speak, and I've been pining for someone to talk to. I talk to them, of course, but it's difficult to hold a conversation when you never know if the other party is in the room or not. Come in, come in. Supper should be ready soon." The old woman pulled Zoe out of the way, then stepped back and waited for the others to enter. A creature, much like the first snowman, was about to follow them into the great hall when the old woman grabbed the door and slammed it in his face. While the old woman chattered about how good it was to see them, Millie looked around the hall. There was one long table in the center of the room, with dozens of chairs on either side. 9 of the creatures, or snowmen, as she was beginning to think of them, stood with their backs to the wall, watching the woman. One of them curled its lip in a silent snarl when it caught Millie looking at it, but it neither moved nor acknowledged her presence in any other way. "I'm sure my servants will have plenty of food," said the old woman. "They always anticipate my needs, and just now I need to take care of my guests." Millie almost giggled when one of the creatures scowled and plodded from the room, taking great care to open and close the door silently. A bell chimed softly somewhere in the castle, and the little woman clapped her hands. "Dinner is ready," she said, smiling brightly. "Now, my sweetlings, take your seats at the table. You can tell me all about yourselves while we eat. My name is Azuria. I'm the Blue Witch, of course. Oh, my, I have so many things to tell you. I've told my servants all my stories, and I'm sure they're sick of hearing them. But now you're here, and you haven't heard any of them. We could stay up all night talking, and it would all be new to you. This is so exciting. Come along now. There we go. You take that seat, young man, and you sit there, sweetling. You'll sit beside me, young lady. And you're a troll, aren't you? You'll sit across from me so I can talk to both of your heads at once. Isn't this fun?" At first, Millie found the woman's ceaseless chatter annoying, but she soon realized that as long as the woman was talking, she didn't need to say anything, which gave her plenty of time to look around. The chairs were wooden, as was the chest at the side of the room. There was a fireplace at the far end, but no logs inside, or charring on the walls that would have shown that it had been used. The walls were blue and weren't completely straight, bulging in some places and bowing at others. A heavy wooden chandelier hung from an oddly shaped hook in the center of the room, and the ceiling above it was blue in irregular splotches. The only source of light in the room was the candles in the chandelier and those set on the chest, but the light of the flames reflected off the walls of ice so many times that the room was as bright as daylight. As Azuria rang a little bell, the snowmen came and went, bringing in platters and refilling mugs. Their big, fur-covered hands were awkward, but they tried hard to do whatever the old woman seemed to want. Whenever the witch was talking to someone else or occupied with her food, Frances made faces at the snowmen, who made the most gruesome faces back. The game ended, however, when Azuria noticed a particularly awful face that Francis was making and asked him if he had a twitching disorder. The food was wonderful. The flavor is delicate or robust, depending on the dish. It was so good, in fact, that Millie decided it must have been prepared with magic. Her mother had served food made with magic when they were on family trips. It was always delicious and served at exactly the right temperature, just like the Blue Witch's food. There wasn't anything wrong with a magical meal. In fact, Millie often preferred it, but it was interesting that the witch's food wasn't cooked in the normal way. Millie looked up when Frances kicked her under the table.
"Well, my dear," the old woman said, "is it a secret?"
"I'm sorry," said Millie. "Did you ask me something?"
"Your name," said the Blue Witch. "I've already told you mine, and your friends have told me theirs."
"I'm Millie," she replied.
The old woman smiled. "What a nice name. And what brings you here, Millie?"
"Actually, a friend of yours recommended that I come to see you. I don't know if you'd remember her, but her name is Madine, and she..."
"Madine? Why, of course I remember her. She and I were best friends when we were children. We lived in town just blocks from the magic marketplace. My mother sold sweetmeats that enabled a person to speak any language she chose. Madine's parents had a stand right across the way. They sold poultry. You know, geese that lay golden eggs, chickens that lay copper. When we were small, Madine and I spent our days playing beneath the stalls, watching for dropped coins and listening to the older witches talk about their magic. We learned a lot that way. Why, I remember there was an old wizard who sold shoes. Here, would you like more soup?"
One of the servants hovering beside the table reached for Millie's bowl just as the old woman held up the ladle. Reaching across the table, she poured the hot, beet-red soup on the creature's hand so that it trickled off into Millie's bowl. The snowman didn't make a sound, but its mouth opened wide, and Millie could have sworn she saw tears well up in its eyes.
"Everything is delicious," Zoe said from the other side of the table.
She winked as Millie fished long white hairs out of her soup with her spoon and dropped them on the floor.
"If you grew up in the city, how did you end up here?" Millie asked Azuria.
"Oh, that's a long, sad story, but I'd be delighted to tell it to you," said the old witch. "I was madly in love, you see, but my beau was an unfaithful brute. When I learned what he had done, I packed my things and headed north, proclaiming that I was going as far from him as I could get. I ended up here in the midst of the most dreadful blizzard. I wandered for days and would have perished if my invisible servants hadn't found me and nursed me back to health. While I was regaining my strength, I told them about this marvelous castle I had visited when I was a girl. And wouldn't you know, they built this castle for me, which is just like the one I described. They've been adding on to it ever since. In fact, they built a whole new addition just a few weeks ago."
"It's beautiful," said Millie. "When Madine said that you lived in the icy north, I never imagined that your home would be as lovely as this. She said that you would be able to help me with a problem that's been troubling me my whole life. Every time I get angry, I..."
"That sounds fascinating, my dear, and I'd love to hear all about it tomorrow. I know I mentioned staying up all night and talking," she said, stifling a yawn, "but I'm just too tired to do it tonight. It's time we all got some rest. But I must tell you that once I go to bed, my servants blow out all the candles and the castle gets dismally dark. I wouldn't go anywhere after that if I were you. An ice castle can be very dangerous at night. But we weren't planning to stay long, and..."
"Of course you're staying. As my very first guests, you can't just leave. You'll spend the night, and tomorrow we'll have another opportunity to get to know each other. Now, if you'll excuse me..."
Pushing back her chair abruptly, the old woman didn't seem to notice that she had shoved it into the stomach of one of her servants, who had been standing behind her. She tried to shove the chair back again and again, but the servant was doubled over in pain, and the chair kept battering him, smashing his toes and pounding his shins.
"Something's wrong with this chair," the old woman muttered.
It wasn't until another servant helped the first one stagger out of the way that Azuria was able to put her chair where she wanted it to go. The Blue Witch was already headed for the door when Millie and her friends realized that she was leaving. They stood, pushing back their chairs, as the servants jumped out of the way. Millie was wondering what she should do when Azuria turned back and said in a loud voice,
"My guests need beds for the night. The girls should sleep in one room, the boys in another."
Her invisible servants stood poised to run as soon as she left, but Azuria no longer seemed to be in a hurry.
"Sleep well, sweetlings," she told the four friends, "and remember what I said about staying in your rooms."
Millie nodded and said,
"We will."
She had no intention of wandering the halls in the dark with those abominable snowmen everywhere.
Then good night, said the Blue Witch, blowing them each a kiss. Sleep tight and don't let the ice bugs bite.
Are there really such things as ice bugs? Simon asked as Azuria left the room.
I don't think so, said Francis. But even if there were, they'd be the least of our worries. Leo nodded.
Especially with those monsters lurking everywhere.
I was thinking of the fact that I have to share a room with you, said Francis. The room that Millie and Zoe shared was an odd shape, with a big bulge on one wall and a dip in the ceiling that brought the ice low enough to graze Millie's hair. It made Millie uncomfortable, although Zoe didn't seem to mind it.
My family spends a lot of time in caves, and they're usually pretty uneven, she said as she plumped up the heavy blanket she'd found folded on one of the two beds. I've been meaning to ask, why do you suppose Azuria stopped you when you were trying to tell her why we came to see her?
I don't know, unless she really was tired. Maybe it's better this way. Audun thought she was evil, and we don't know her well enough yet to say if she is or not.
Are you sure you checked the room?
Yes, and so did you, at least a dozen times, said Zoe. There's nothing here. Do you think I'd go to sleep in a room with those monsters in it?
I know, you're right. I just can't shake the feeling that we're being watched. That's not surprising, considering we have been ever since we met Azuria. I think it's a good thing she can't see them. Can you imagine what it would feel like to know they were watching every move you made all day, every day?
I'd hate it, said Millie, and you're probably right. Having them watching us for just a few hours has already gotten to me.
I know we don't really know Azuria, said Zoe, but she seems pretty nice if you ignore her craziness. Do you think she really can't see those monsters, or is that all pretense?
Millie shrugged.
I guess she could have a form of snow blindness and can't see anything that's white. Otherwise, the I can't see them thing would be too hard to make believable.
Zoe stuck her head under the blanket and poked around inside it.
I suppose. And what about the evil part? I know the Green Witch is supposed to be the nicest, most powerful witch in Greater Greensward, but are all witches with color names supposed to be like that?
I think they're powerful, but I don't know about nice, said Millie.
Zoe's hair was a tangled mess when she came out from under the blanket.
Do you think she did something to Audun's family?
I have no idea. I haven't seen her do any magic yet, so I don't know what she's capable of doing. However, we'll find a way to explore the castle tomorrow. If there are dragons hidden here, we're going to find them.
What are you doing? Are you going to sleep under that blanket or what?
I have to, said Zoe. Just not like this.
Millie watched as Zoe climbed onto the bed and stood on the pillow. The air shimmered around her as she turned into a bat. The cool, dank puff almost made Millie sneeze.
It's too cold in here to hang onto that ceiling, Zoe said as she shuffled off the pillow. There are no bugs here, so I'm famished as a bat, but I can't stay a vampire with you sleeping this close to me. The temptation to bite you would keep me awake all night. It's bad enough that I can't sleep during the day without worrying that I might sleepwalk and bite you at night.
Well, good night. To sort of quote Azuria, sleep tight and don't let the vampires bite.
Very funny, said Millie, pulling her blanket up around her neck.
While Zoe burrowed under the covers, Millie glanced around the room one last time. Although they'd both checked the room repeatedly, she wanted to make absolutely certain that there were no snowmen hiding anywhere, waiting for her to fall asleep. She hadn't seen any, but she still couldn't shake the feeling she'd had since the moment they entered the room that someone was watching her.